Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Matthew chapter 28 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" We call it the Great Commission, and it is great. And it's something that was important to Jesus in these last 40 days that he was on earth between his resurrection and his ascension. There are five different places in Scripture that we are given this commission. It's worded a little differently every time, but in all four Gospels and in Acts, Jesus is recorded as telling his followers these last words before he returned to the Father. "I want you to go and I want you to make disciples." And we've been talking about that for a number of weeks now. And we have said in this series that being a disciple and making disciples is more about progress than it is perfection. And I'm really, really glad that that's true, because it is more about progress. It's more about following Jesus. It's about learning to be like Jesus. It's about learning to obey Jesus. It's more about that process than it is about being perfect. Jesus Christ, in his death and burial and resurrection, has made us perfect in God's eyes, and we are holy, and we are cleansed, and we are washed clean. And that is a true reality for every single person who is in Jesus. And so he has made us perfect. Our life on this earth is about making progress as a disciple, becoming more like him. More about progress than perfection. It's more about obedience than options. Jesus said, "When you make disciples, I want you to teach them to obey me." Why? Because obeying Jesus is a better life. Amen? Obeying Jesus is a life that is rich and full and abundant. And it's not about us keeping our options open and doing what I want to do over here, but I'll do what Jesus wants me to over here. Being a disciple is about obeying more than it is about options. It's about a journey more than it is about a destination. And again, it's this idea that Jesus said, "Come and follow me." We are on a journey. There is a destination, and we're going to be there because of Jesus. And in the meantime, we are the disciples who are on this journey. And today, as we finish up this first part of this series about talking about what it is to be a disciple, today I want you to hear me say that it's more an art than it is a science. It's more an art than it is a science. Okay, a little bit of history here. In the early part of the last century, Henry Ford was making automobiles. And the way that Henry Ford made automobiles in that first decade of that century was that they would put the chassis of a vehicle up on blocks, up on sawhorses, and it would sit there stationary, and people would run everywhere getting things and bringing them, and people would be bringing what you needed for the guys who were working on the car and putting it together. And so there was a lot of running around of people, and they could make a car every 12 hours. And they were proud of that. They could make a car every 12 hours. In 1912, one of Henry Ford's engineers — and Henry Ford was all about efficiency and doing things better, and he had engineers who just did nothing but analyze time and processes — and one of those guys came up with an idea, and he said, "What if, instead of the car remaining still and the people running everywhere, what if the people remain still and the car is the one that moved?" And so they put in conveyor belts, and the assembly line was born. And changed the way Ford made automobiles, changed the way everything was made in the United States and around the world. Mass production. And pretty soon, instead of every 12 hours, they were turning out a car every 90 minutes. And in the decade that followed, Ford produced 10 million Model Ts. More than half of all the cars on the planet were produced in this mass production assembly line that Ford had. And that idea took over every field, every company, every endeavor. That idea of mass production and efficiency and doing more took over the way people thought. And pretty soon it also was in the thinking of the church and in the thinking of church leaders. And so in the 1920s, churches across America began to take on this same kind of mentality about processes and efficiency and mass production and mass communication, and began to learn and apply those principles and adapt new technology. One of those new technologies 100 years ago was the radio. In the 1920s, people began to listen to radios. Not in huge numbers yet, but they began to listen to radios in the 1920s. And churches adopted that new technology. Tenth and Broad was one of the first churches in this city to host a weekly radio program to get the gospel out to the masses in our city through this new technology of radio. 100 years ago. And as times moved on and as times changed, technology continued to advance. And in the early 50s, the new technology of television was sweeping the nation, and more homes had televisions. And 10th and Broad was one of the very first churches of Christ in the nation to sponsor a new television program called the Herald of Truth that was broadcast around the nation out of Abilene, Texas. 10th and Broad got in on that very, very early to adopt that new technology and reach the masses with the gospel. One of the other technologies that came around in the 50s and 60s was portable film projectors. Before that, you had to go to the theater, and there was a huge film projector up in the room behind that put it on the movie screen. But they made portable film projectors. And there was a Texan who came up with a way to present the message of the Bible from creation to Christ using a film strip. And we knew them as the Jewel Miller film strip. Some of you are shaking your head because we're getting into the era where some of you remember. As a kid, I remember this a little bit later on. And so the way it worked in the beginning was you would carry your portable projector, which wasn't small, by the way, but it was portable. You'd carry your portable projector. You had this film strip that went with it, and you had a record player. Now, those are back in style now, right? But this was early days, and you had your record player. And so you had to time it to where you turned your film projector on and you started playing the record, and it would speak and connect with what was on the screen. And then it would go ding, and you knew you were supposed to advance the projecting, the film. Now, that was before my time, but when I came along, things had really advanced, and we no longer used a record player. We used cassette tapes. High technology. But it still went ding, and you advanced the projector. Jewel Miller film strips. I can remember my preacher, Andy Dooley, taking me along with him. He was discipling me, folks. He took me along with him. We went into people's houses. And we watched the Jewel Miller film strips and told them about Jesus. So, using technology, using the latest thinking, the latest advances. The church has done that throughout the last century. Not just, but also in processes and just the way we organize ourselves. Some of those things were more helpful than others. But one thing that has never changed from the time of Jesus through all that technology and mass communication and mass production, one thing that has never changed is it still requires a person to interact and connect with a person. It still requires a relationship between two people to be a disciple who is making disciples. Mass communication, technology, they have their place, but they cannot replace one person talking to another person. Disciple making requires relationships. And relationships are not an assembly line process. Wouldn't that be great? No, it really wouldn't. But just think about it. If people were just an assembly line, And we got to stand still, and they came to us. And they just rotated through on a conveyor belt, and we gave them what they needed when we decided that they needed it. And by the end, we had this nicely wrapped Christian and disciple. And we didn't have to go anywhere. They just came to us. But that's not the way it works. Jesus said, go, because that's not the way it works. And at the end, not everybody looks the same. Jesus, God didn't create us to look the same. He's not producing robots or automatons. He's producing disciples. And so disciple making is really more an art than it is a science. And I'm thankful that Tyndon Broad has been a church throughout its history that has been watching and paying attention and thinking and adopting and working and doing, being on the radio, being on television, whatever it was. I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful that today Tyndon Broad is paying attention. Because there is a wave that is washing over the world right now. And I read about it and I witness it and I hear about it from multiple places and multiple people. There is a wave that is washing over the world right now that God is reminding us and calling us back to disciple making and relationships, being and doing what Jesus and the disciples and the apostles and the early church did. And I'm thankful that you are catching that wave and you're participating in what God is doing. These principles that Jesus used and that he taught, and they're more art than they are science. And the first disciples used them because that's what they had learned from their master teacher, Jesus. And the first disciples used them, and over the next couple of centuries, God literally changed the world through them as they went out as disciples who were making disciples. And folks, I am praying, and I pray constantly that God will do that again. He is doing that again, by the way. We don't have to ask and hope. He is doing it, and he is doing it all over the world. I pray very specifically that he will do it here, and that he'll do it in you and in me and in us, and that he'll do it in our city and transform this place, and that he'll do it in our state. He'll do it in our nation, that God will do again what he did then. And that we will do the things that Jesus did and get the results that Jesus got. But even a movement starts with one person. And even a movement continues one person at a time. One person stepping out in faith. One person loving another person. One person baptizing another person. One person teaching another person. And I remember as a kid this commercial for some kind of hair product. And it said, and so on, and so on, and so on. Do you remember that commercial? And it started with one person on the screen, and it multiplied to two, and it multiplied to four, and it multiplied to eight, and it just kept going. That's the way that the church grows and multiplies, is one person at a time. And so on, and so on, and so on. And so next week, we're going to start the second part of this disciple-making series. And we're going to give some really helpful, practical, biblical practices that we can learn and that we can put into practice, that we can implement with our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers and people that we pray and God brings them into our path. But it's more an art than it is a science. And so we're going to learn some relationship arts over the next few weeks that we can use for Jesus and his kingdom. We're going to use the word bless, B-L-E-S-S, to help us remember those practices. And as we learn those and as we put them into practice, it's going to require two things that it has always required. And that is patience, and that is presence. Patience and presence are necessary in this art of disciple making, because patience and presence is necessary in relationships, right? You know that in your marriage. You know that with your children. You know that with your friends. Any kind of relationship that you have, if it's going to maintain, if it's going to grow, if it's going to thrive, it requires some patience with each other, and it requires presence, proximity into each other's lives. Because relationships are more like an art than they are a science. They require patience and they require presence. Paul had a disciple. Paul had many disciples, but Paul had a disciple named Timothy. And he wrote a couple of letters to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gave Timothy this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. There's that word patience. Careful instruction requires presence. You got to be present with someone to carefully instruct them. It always starts with God's word. Anything we do has got to start and end with God's word. It requires that we be prepared. And this is another place that it looks like art more than science, because there are seasons for everything. There are seasons of the year. There's a school season. There's a vacation season. There's a football season or a track season. There's seasons for everything. Everything grows in seasons. There's new life and growth in the spring. By the time the winter comes, things are cold and they're dead. But a new season of spring is going to come again. Everything happens in seasons. People grow in seasons. That's the way God made us. People grow in seasons just like nature does. And we have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared that there are going to be times of growth and multiplication. There are going to be times where it's going to require a whole lot more patience as we wait. You grew in seasons. That's how you grew. And it, for healthy growth, it required that someone was patient with you and that someone was present with you. When you were a newborn, your parents didn't try to get you to eat solid food right away. You weren't ready for that. Your system wouldn't take that. But they were patient and they waited and they were present and they gave you what you needed when you needed it. Your parents or your teachers didn't demand that you walk before you crawled, because one thing comes before the other. Your teachers didn't demand that you learn algebra before they taught you your times tables. Everything grows in seasons. You grew in seasons, and there was someone there who was patient with you and who was present with you and taught you and helped you. And that's true in your spiritual life as well. You grow in seasons. You have some seasons where you grow a great deal and there's a lot of new growth and you really start growing and maturing and you're eating more solid food and less milk. But then there are seasons where things slow down a little bit. I heard a man say, don't regret or hate that time, because what's happening then is your roots are growing. You don't see the growth, but your roots are growing. You're getting prepared for the next season. As spiritual people, we grow in seasons. And that's frustrating sometimes. It requires a lot of patience, because sometimes I'm very frustrated with myself. And I think I should be further along than I am. And I wonder, why do I still struggle, or why am I still tempted with that particular sin after all these years? Or why haven't I conquered this character trait that I would really like to be rid of? Or why haven't I adopted this practice that I really want in my life? And I get frustrated myself. I get frustrated with you. Did you know that? I get frustrated with you. I get frustrated with other people, and I know you do too. And I wonder, you know, why can't you be more disciplined than you are? Why hasn't your language changed like I think it should? Or, I mean, whatever it is, it requires patience, because we are all growing in season and out of season. We're in this for a marathon. This isn't a 100-yard dash. It takes patience. It takes presence. Being and making disciples is not like putting fenders on Fords. It isn't mass production. It is more masterpiece. And you can't mass produce a Monet. It takes time, patience. It takes presence and diligence and work. And here's what I want you to remember this morning is Jesus is patient with you. And Jesus is present with you. There was this moment, probably more than one, but this moment with the disciples that Jesus said, "How long shall I stay here and put up with you?" Now, I don't know what tone you hear, but I kind of have the tone in my head of what Jesus, "How long should I stay here and put up with you?" But the answer was and is, as long as it takes. Jesus stayed. He finished the job. And then when he left, he sent another who is still present with us, who is present in us. That is unimaginable, but it is true. The Holy Spirit is present in us, and he is patient with us. And so since he is patient and present with us and others, let us be patient and present with ourselves as we grow as disciples, and let us be patient and present with others as we help make disciples. Because it's more an art than it is a science. And so as you're here this morning, and I'm glad you're here this morning, and if you're online with us, I'm glad you're here online, and you wonder, maybe you're thinking, what season are you in? Maybe you're wondering what God is doing with you. Maybe you're wondering, can God do anything with you? Maybe you're wondering, or if Jesus hasn't said, well, how long am I going to put up with you? Here's what I want you to know. God is not mass producing. God is working with you. And he's patient and he's present with you. And he's patient and he's present with the person sitting next to you. And he is patient and he is present with the person that you interact with and that you pass in the world. There's not a one of you and a one of them that he doesn't love and that he is not willing to put up with. He's patient and he's present because he's not Henry Ford. He's a potter. And he takes you, the clay, and he is molding and he is making you into the vessel that he has imagined and known from the moment that he created you. And he is using heat and he's using friction, and that's not always pleasant. But the outcome is going to be something perfect and beautiful and useful. He's the potter and you're the clay. He's also the shepherd and you're the sheep. And when you wander off, he'll come and he'll find you. And when you get yourself in trouble, he'll come and he'll pull you out. And when you get hurt, he'll bind your wounds. Because he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, and he is going to bring his sheep home. He's the artist. He's the master artist. And you are the masterpiece. And by faith, through grace, he has saved you. And now he is creating this incredibly beautiful masterpiece. That's beautiful and also useful. That's who God is. And that's who we are. It's not an assembly line. Thank goodness we're not all going to look alike when it's said and done. But with patience and with presence, we are going to look more like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm so very thankful for the truth of your word this morning. For the truth about who you are and who we are. The truth about what you are doing in us and through us. thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, that you have been so patient with me. And that you have stayed so present with me. Thank you that you have been so patient with my brothers and sisters, and you've been so present with them. Thank you for the people who are in the world this morning, who don't even know you yet, or have issues with you, or angry with you, misunderstand you, just turn their back on you. You are just as patient with them as you have been with me, and you are just as present with them. And I believe you will do everything that you can do to make them into what you want them to be. Use us, Father, in that journey. Use us in those relationships. Thank you again. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.